I have prepared a little something, if you don't mind. But I will try not to take too much time here. I just came back from Kansas City off the plane and came straight here. And I must tell you, it was a good time. And the church in Manhattan will be born pretty soon.
Amen.
Kansas, Manhattan, Kansas, a college town of 50,000 people, where Kansas State University is. I mean, they came to Kansas City for the Kansas City, Missouri, that is, for the conference this weekend. Just mostly young people, college young people, many typical Americans. I'm just tickled pink seeing them, very much on fire, and very, very much burdened for their campus, for their the students there. It's really, really a more and more, like tonight, a kind of foretaste of, I think, more births of local churches, more lampstands raised up and more church trees planted. Amen. In the coming days. Our last church tree planting nearby was San Juan, which was quite a number of moons ago. Well, blue moon, huh?
Yeah.
Many a blue moon ago. And so Lake Forest is a very, very young sister of San Juan, a little too big of a gap between the siblings. We need to close that gap.
Yeah.
So you have those cities down there, many cities up here. And I really have the feeling that more and more we're not going to have these huge, big migration, but small migration with a small number starting the church life. We're nearby with a blending culture, with the seven feasts every year, with the internet. No one will die of isolation. Like in the early days, you know, we just say so long and we won't see you for 5 years, except for an occasional long distance call, which was rather expensive. Nowadays, we can be in touch with everyone all the time. So little churches can survive quite readily. They can sustain a church life quite ably in today's situation. So we have to have this kind of a view. Tonight, my little burden that I have on my heart is this. I would like to give Lake Forest a report card, which is blank, which is blank. That means it will be filled in. So a year later, or a few years later, whatever, I like to come and see what that report card looks like. And I would like to see every column of that report card says F. F. But F does not mean fail. So tonight, I like to mention three Fs that I like Lake Forest to get in their report card. The three words are, number one, that would describe the church life. Number one, fresh.
Amen.
Number two, fragrant.
Amen.
And number three, fruitful.
Amen.
How do you like those F's?
Amen.
Oh, I want lots of F's.
Amen.
So in a year or whenever, I like to check their report card. I hope it's an F report card, full of these three F's. Well, just a little word on each one of them. Of course, there are many yardsticks or many ways to measure how a church, the church's health, or the condition of a local church. And there are many important matters, of course. But I just selected these three as kind of vital, critical measurement of the condition tradition of a church. Indeed, we can use this, apply this to any local church today and to gauge the health of that church. Firstly, a healthy church must be fresh. You know, we are the one new man. Am I right?
Amen.
We are the new man.
Amen.
And in the New Testament, two words new are used for the new man. One is new in nature. New in nature. The other one is new in time. New in time. You put the two together, okay, I sense it is not just a matter of new, like a new product, right? But new in a ever refreshed way.
Amen.
It is constantly renewed. It is constantly in a new state. That's how a church should be. In other words, a church that never ages. A church that never gets wrinkly. A church that never gets spotty. A church that is evergreen and ever fresh.
Amen.
Is it possible?
Yes.
You bet.
Amen.
Why? Because we have exactly such an evergreen life within us.
Amen.
And we have exactly such an eternal spirit within us.
Amen.
So you have in Romans, chapter 6, that we are to walk in the newness of life. And in Romans 7, we are to serve in the newness of the Spirit. How can we maintain our freshness as a church and freshness as an individual Christian? I would say there is no other way, there is no other source, there are no other factors save two things. Number one, the divine life.
Amen.
And number two, the divine spirit.
Amen.
Interestingly, the divine life in the Bible is typified by wine.
Mm-hmm.
By wine. You know, you remember the water change into wine signified changing from life to death. And in the Bible, not only is wine mentioned, but sweet wine or even new wine. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, the people jeered and ridiculed these folks there and say they are full of sweet wine or new wine. They were drunk. Okay? They were drunk. This wine makes you excitable. This new wine invigorates you. This new wine makes you crazy.
Amen.
I tell you, this is what the divine life does to us.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, let us drink this wine every day.
Amen.
Do not be drunk with worldly wine,
Amen.
But be drunk with the heavenly wine.
Amen.
And then the Spirit in the Bible is likened to oil. But not only oil, but at least in Psalms it says fresh oil. Fresh oil. So, dear saints, this oil, which is the compound spirit, is anointing all the furniture in the tabernacle. It is added to the offering, at least the meal offering, and it is to be mingled even with the bread of the face bread, the bread of the Lord's presence. All this oil is to what? Is to bring the essence of God, who is the Spirit, right?
Amen.
Into us.
Amen.
And this Spirit, brothers and sisters, is dynamic.
Amen.
This Spirit is both essential and economical.
Amen.
This Spirit is the fresh oil.
Amen.
And do you remember, I just remember there this in Kings, not Kings. In Judges, there are these three trees talking. The fig tree, the vine tree, am I right?
Right.
And then the olive tree. There we go. They talk to each other. And the olive tree say, I must take care of my fatness. The main thing with the olive oil is it's fat. It's very fat, very rich. And then it says, it honors God and honors man. The oil, the spirit, honors God, and the spirit honors man. So when they make you a king, they pour oil on your head, that is to honor you. Oh, I tell you, when we get the spirit, we're honored. Yeah. And when we release the spirit to one another, we honor one another.
Amen.
When we're full of the Holy Spirit, we're full of honor.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters. And then you have that vine. It says, he says, I must take care of what? Of the wine. Because it is by pressing the vine, the grapes, you produce wine. Am I right? And he says, this wine is for cheering God and man.
Amen.
Oh, it makes God happy.
Amen.
And it makes man happy.
Amen.
When we're filled with the divine life, we are a joy to God.
Amen.
And we are a happiness to man. So that the good Samaritan pour upon the wounds of that half-beaten person oil and wine before he takes him to what? To the inn. You remember this?
Yeah, yeah.
So may the church in Lake Forest, right?
Right.
Amen. Be fresh.
Amen.
With the divine life, filled with the divine life.
Amen.
And full of the Spirit.
Amen.
That will be you be fresh. Now the second thing, it's the second F, is that a fragrant church. A church should not just be fresh, a church should smell.
Mm.
I mean, smells good, right? Not smells bad. Oh, I tell you, this is very meaningful. You know, every church has a smell. And you can smell it, okay? They say that actually the memory of smell is more than the memory of sight. You remember what you smell, even you forget what you saw. I tell you, there's one person in this universe who loves to smell stuff, and that is God.
Amen.
So after Noah came out of the boat, not boat, the ark, and he built an altar to offer the burnt offering to God. And it says that offering ascended to God, and it was a satisfying fragrance to God. Now, God must have a big nose. God loves to smell stuff. He wants to smell something sweet from man. Oh, and that satisfies him. That's why after they erected the tabernacle, the whole priesthood's job is day and night, nonstop, offering those animals, right? To keep that smell going up and odor going up to make God happy.
Amen.
To make God satisfied.
Amen.
This is our service. This is our priestly service. And in Song of Songs, you have this lady, this lover of Christ, who became a pillar of smoke full of spices from the merchants. The Lord appraised him, you know, the lover praised him. And then it says he is a garden. In this garden, there's not only fruit. This garden is full of all manners of rich spices. Oh, he say, come, north wind, come, south wind, blow on my garden and let the spices flow. And let my beloved come into his garden.
Amen.
And eat the choice fruits.
Amen.
Oh, dear brothers and sisters, we are in the church life to satisfy God.
Amen.
Our church life must be fragrant.
Amen.
Oh, always something ascending to God.
Amen.
For his enjoyment.
Amen.
Not only so, eventually this spices is for our enjoyment as well. For men's enjoyment as well. So today, you say, how do we become fragrant in this kind of a way? Well, the Bible does talk about it. We know, firstly, that the spices are just Christ, including the very first compound spice of three elements, spices that denotes Christ's death, and one element, frankincense, that denotes Christ's resurrection. And you add this together in equal proportions, and that is the holy incense for offering at the golden altar before the Holy of Holies. That is a type of the praying Christ. We all know this. Well, dear saints, I can mention 5 or 6 points on how to be a fragrant church. Mm-hmm. Number one, it is a Christ-loving church. Amen. That's what Mary Magdalene did in the house of Simon the leper. Am I right? Amen. Breaking the alabaster box, and it fills the house with fragrance. That is love. So this, the first thing is a Christ-loving church. And number two, it must be an all-consecrating church. He broke the alabaster box and gave it all. People say, why this waste? All the golden future, all that they have are consecrated, pour on the Lord Jesus. I tell you, a fragrant church is an all-consecrating church. What else is a fragrance? I tell you, a fragrant church is a self-denying church. If every saint deny themselves and take the cross, for sure fragrance will come. Wherever there is that, there is the real myrrh, amen, the real sweetness of Christ coming forth, right? So this is another thing that makes a church, a fragrant church, is a what? Is a praying church. Why? Because these spices is to offer, you know, which is Christ's virtues, are to be offered with the prayers of the saints to God, effecting something in God's economy. So a fragrant church must be a praying church. And then two more things. Number one, a fragrant church must be a material giving church, because the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 says, what you have given, which are material things, is a sweet-smelling savor to God. Amen. Will be added to your heavenly account. Amen. So a church that is fragrant must be a church that gives material to the Lord's move, to the Lord's servants, to the needy saints. The more they give, the more fragrant this church is. Lastly, a fragrant church must be a gospel-spreading church. In 2 Corinthians 4, the apostles are the what? Incense bearers in the train of vanquished foes, spreading the incense that is death unto death and life unto life. A real fragrant church must be a gospel preaching church.
Right.
A incense spreading church. Then the fragrance will flow. So this is the fragrant church. Number three, we have to be a fruitful church. We must be a fruitful church. God expects fruit. God plans any kind of plan, not just for show, but for fruit. That's why he cut off and he dried up that fig tree, signifying the Jewish nation. It was planted by God to bear fruit, but no fruit came forth. The Lord says, cut it down. All what it's doing is depleting the soil of nutrients, intercepting the sunlight, and usurping what others should enjoy, but bearing no fruit. Cut it down. Cut it down. God wants fruit from every church. Well, the fruit, Brother Lee made it very clear to us, of two kinds. Number one, the spiritual fruit of the Spirit. That means the fruit of our living. And even the New Testament say the fruit of our good works, the expression, the virtues, joy, peace, love, long-suffering, self-control, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, all these virtues of Christ lived out in us, what are the very fruit we need to bear. May the church in Lake Forest bear this kind of fruit. Amen. They will find favor in their community because they live Christ. Amen. They express Christ with so much fruit of the Spirit. Amen. But there's another kind of fruit that is mainly in John 15, and that must be the fruit of men, the fruit of people, the fruit of souls. We must bear this fruit as well, very much. For a church to just be there and not bear fruit, I'll tell you, that church is not a happiness to God. That church is not very approved by the Lord. It must be a church that is constantly bearing fruit. So I would just say that Lake Forest, you didn't go to Lake Forest just to have some good home meetings. You have gone to Lake Forest to bear fruit.
Amen.
Even as John says, to bear fruit, to bear more fruit,
Amen.
To bear much fruit,
Amen.
And to bear remaining fruit.
Amen.
For this cause, you are set in the vine, and you are sent forth to go to this city,
Amen.
To go to another town, to bear fruit unto God.
Amen.
And bear fruit for the increase of the church, and bear fruit for the growth of the body of Christ.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
That's all I have.
Amen.
You like those F's?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. May the Lord make Lake Forest a what?
Fresh
church.
Fragrant
church.
Fragrant
church. And a fruitful church. Amen. Amen.